This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It's me, Harriet Rose, and this is FUBAR Radio. You're tuned in to the new music show. It's very exciting because today we've got some new features. We've got lots of guests. I had a little chat with Nick J.D. Hodgson this week. So we're going to be... He was from the Kaiser Chiefs, and he's got a lot of exciting things going on right now. He's just finished his tour for his debut solo album. And also, he's told us some gossip and some bits and bobs about the Kaiser Chiefs and his life in music over all these years. He's also written some of the biggest songs you've probably ever heard, but we'll hear that later. Plus, we've got Kadeem Tyrell coming in. Chelsea Blues is going to be in the studio. Tony Njoku is going to be here. And Michelle Gale is going to be on the phone later on. I'm going to be talking in a minute after I play the first tune, which I think you're going to be pleased with today, guys. We've got a new champion feature. So every week I'm going to be championing, whether it's an artist, a song, an album, anything music related. We're going to just have a champion. We're going to celebrate them, and we're going to talk all about them. So I'll tell you a little bit later about our champion feature. But first, let's have a little bit of crying, or not crying, because Ariana Grande has released a new song. So everyone's very happy about that. I'm sure some people probably did cry when she released a new single because it's been so long since she released one. Yep, Hannah, producer, has just raised her hand there. This is her newest track, No Tears Left to Cry. I like Ariana Grande. I think she makes great pop bangers, but this one really resonated with me. I'm very into it. Number one, how has she managed to make a song that is both slow and emotional and also a banger? That's what I want to know. How has she done it? Because at some points you want to slow dance, at some points you want to headbang. I want to know how to achieve this. And if anyone knows the answer, please do tweet us at FUBAR Radio. Without further ado, this is my tune of the week, by the way. So go listen. I'm sure you already have, but I'm playing it for you again.
Yeah. Right now I'm on a state of mind. I wanna be in like all the time. Ain't got no tears left to cry. turning, so we turning up. Yeah, we turning it up.
New job as a litter picker there for Ariana Grande. She's picking it up, picking it up. You should all bear that in mind because it's illegal to litter. You can be arrested for it. Good on you, Ariana. Very good song. Very banging, but also very calming. It's quite a confusing experience to go through, but I'm enjoying it very much. So there's some interesting things going on at the moment. And I'm just going to ask my producer, Hannah, to bring in the interesting things so I can talk about them on some pieces of paper. But I'm going to kick off by talking a bit about... So everyone's been buzzing, right? Because The Middle, the song by DJ Zed. Thanks, babes. In comes Hannah. She's Australian. Hello, Hannah.
G'day.
G'day, mate. Thank you so much. So I've been having an interesting week because I've been a real muso. I've been like having a look at some actual music stuff that's going on and kind of going a bit more in depth into it. And the first, I just threw my jacket and it did not work. The Middle. So the track, everyone's buzzing about it because there was this interview that happened. Joe Coscarelli, a reporter, sort of called up the team behind making The Middle. And I think for not the first time, definitely, because we talk about it a lot on this show, it was commercially, I think, quite exciting for the general population because people don't really know what actually goes into making a song. Now, this one took a year from the sort of start of it being written to it coming out. And there's lots of reasons why. And it's really, really interesting. So it's actually an incredible pop song. First off, I'm a really big fan of it. It's one of those that you kind of put it on your playlist and you just bang it, bang it, bang it. And it's by an artist that the vocals are by an artist that I actually hadn't heard of, Maren Morris, who is a country and western singer from the US. She's got a beautiful vocal, but the actual story behind how she got there is really interesting. So it all started off with a very super sweet, shy writer called Sarah Ahrens. Now, she's written some of the biggest songs you've ever heard, including Stay by Zed and Alessia Cara last year. And she's written songs for Flume, Demi Lovato, and loads of other people. She's Australian. And she actually, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her because I think it's, when I sort of heard her story, it just made me love her more and also be more interested in the kind of writing side, because you forget that a lot of songs aren't actually written by the artists who sing them. There's a team of people that work and are so passionate and excited about what they're doing. And this girl is one of them. She's actually got an autoimmune disease. She grew up in Australia, and when she was in Australia, she was told that this is where a person's immune system attacks their own body. So your body's fighting against you. And she was basically told, you can't do a normal job. The disease the way it is, you will struggle to do a repetitive day-to-day job. So she was like, right, well, I need to think of something else to do. And she was inspired randomly. She was inspired by Sia, who obviously is which many people might not know, is a very highly acclaimed writer who then became a pop star herself. And she was inspired by the fact that actually it was sort of an achievable, when she saw an artist who'd actually done it, she was like, that's obviously an achievable goal. And she'd always sung from when she was young. She'd run singing competitions. But what she realized was that what she was winning for was actually her writing ability and how good she was at kind of making a pop song. So she moved to LA. She got picked up by one of the biggest writing management teams in the world. And she moved over to LA and she just started writing for everybody, basically. She goes into, you can imagine the kind of rooms she sat in. Like, I think she's pretty big time. And this song, she was just writing in her bedroom, and she sent it over to her team, who then had a look at it. And they tried to find a DJ at first and then settled on Zed, who is getting massive now. He's obviously a huge talent and everyone is really excited about him. And in the interview, you sort of get a little snapshot because I don't know that much about Zed. So it was really interesting to actually hear him talk and hear him speak about the record. And when writers do it, they tend to actually sing it themselves and then send it as a demo to other people. So the demo was amazing, basically. But this girl doesn't want to be a singer. She's a writer. She wants to keep it that way. So first off, loads of people demoed it, but in the music industry, not often does it happen that loads of superstars demo it. So loads of massive artists were like, I want to be on this song. Demi Lovato tried out. Charlie XCX actually revealed today, after all the hype about it, that she tried out as well. Camila Cabello, Anne Marie, Carly Rae Jepsen, Tove Lo, Bishop Briggs, Bebe Rexha. Literally everybody but me tried out for this song. And I have been talking to my management, guys. Don't worry, I will try and be on the next said track. So they finally then realised that none of these people worked. And actually, they wanted to find someone that sounded just like Sarah, because Sarah's sort of raspy kind of like voice, soulful voice, was really impactful on the song, and he just felt like that was the one. So he came across Maren Morris, who sent in a demo as well, and he was just like, this is it, this is the one. This all started, by the way, in January of 2017, so it's been over a year in the making, which is long for one song. It's definitely not a normal sort of timescale. I think that's why they wanted to tell the story, because it was so epic and so many people tried out for it. And you can actually hear some of the demos online if you go and listen, which is really weird, because if you hear it sung in different ways after it's already become a hit, it's very confusing to hear. But I'm just really interested in this story because of the way it all came about, and the fact that it's ended up championing Sarah Ahrens in such a way that everyone now knows her name. Not because obviously in the industry, you know, she was attending the Grammys, she was doing all the right things, and everyone knew who she was in the industry. But it's just exciting for the whole world to see the behind the scenes of how these kind of songs are made. She even actually, when she went to the Grammys, she saw Maren Morris on the red carpet and was like, oh God, oh, I'm gonna fangirl. She was like, I never ever do this, but. She went up to her and she was like, oh, I'm the girl who wrote the song. And they just had this beautiful moment where they kind of both talked about the song and how much they loved the song. And it was really like sweet and genuine from her side, bearing in mind she's already written songs that have been number one, songs by some of the biggest artists in the world. It just feels really lovely to see the other side of the writing and how it all works. And it's become huge news. Everyone is talking about this song and how it's become a kind of, if anything, it's escalated even further because of how interesting the story is. I mean, the fact that like Demi Lovato, Charlie XCX, Camila Cabello, some of the biggest artists around right now, and none of them worked, and none of them came in. I guess it's just a kind of hint that of music integrity, where you don't just go for a name, because obviously Maren Morris is a massive name anyway, but it wasn't about the name, it was about how the person sounded and how it sounded on the song. And I think sometimes you forget about that. You forget about it being actually a piece of work in itself before it even comes anywhere near the singers. Also, it's a banger. We cannot deny that this song is massive. So we're going to have a listen to it. I was just really excited. If you want to go and check any of those people out, you can check out the Joe Coscarelli interview. I believe it's on the New York Times website. It's a full video. It's really interesting. This song has obviously been number one, I think, in the US for like 3 weeks. It's huge. Everyone's going crazy for it. So I'm actually very excited about hearing more about this girl as well, Sarah Ahrens, because... If I had my way, she'd be making songs herself. But she apparently features in songs all over the world, but she doesn't really name herself. Like in this track, her vocals are featured. You just don't know when or where. It's just kind of little bits and bobs from the demo that they've used. But keep your eye out for her and have a Google, because she's got a wicked story and she's super sweet. And this video, this interview is really, really lovely. So this is The Middle, Zed featuring Maren Morris. Tweet us and let us know if you'd already heard of these girls and whether I'm an idiot and I was the last person to know. But let us know on Twitter at FUBAR Radio. So this is The Middle.
Take a seat right over there. Sat on the stairs, stay or leave. The cabinets are bare and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive. I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer. Why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? I can't just let you go. Oh, baby. Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle. Kitchen floors are wet. and taps are still running, dishes are broken. How did we get into this mess? Got so aggressive. I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer. Why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? I can't just let you go. Oh, baby. Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle. Looking at you, I can't lie. Just pouring out admission. Regardless of my objection. Uh-oh. And it's not about my
friends, ladies and gentlemen, because Nick JD Hodgson is in the building.
Whoop.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thanks.
We are very excited to have you here today because you've got a brand new album and also we've got two live performances. Two?
Yeah.
A double whammy. We only usually get one.
Well, you know, I like to give value. Good value.
Like Tesco value.
That's right. Meal deal. I'm a meal deal.
Are you a Boots meal deal or a Tesco's meal deal?
I'm a finest, whatever that is.
Oh, okay.
Meal deal.
I feel like you're that, like Waitrose finest, you know?
Yes, possibly. Or even Marks and Spencer's.
Oh, really pushing the boat out. Mm. Now, this is your debut solo album.
Yes.
You've done a lot of music before, though.
Yes.
You were previously in the very, very unknown band, the Kaiser Chiefs.
Yes, yep.
That must have been a bit of a weird transition for you.
Well, it is a bit weird. I mean, I'm just...
You went away for a while and didn't want to make music anymore.
Well, I know.
Not make music.
Not for myself. I was producing and writing songs with other people, and I did that for about 5 years. And I was really happy for about... I did it for about 4 years, because the last year I've been doing my own stuff. But for maybe 3.5 years, I was really, really happy doing that. And then suddenly I just thought, forget it.
The stage was beckoning.
I think it was. Something happened, and I just thought, it was one evening, and I just thought, right, I can't be doing that anymore. I think it was because everyone was judging your songs too intently, and I just didn't really respect the people that were judging them.
Ooh.
In terms of, like, there was lots of management, there was lots of record labels, lots of people, and I just thought, well, actually, what I really want to do is write the songs and put them out.
So you wanted to show them how it's done, essentially?
Well, I'm showing it how it can be done, i.e.
That's a nicer way to put it.
You write a good song and you sing it and that's it.
Shall we hear one of those songs now? You're going to play Suitable for us. Can you just introduce it for us?
This is a song. This is the first song I put out from... So, like, after the Kaiser Chiefs, it was the first song about 5 years later that I actually put out. It was quite nerve-wracking. Did it wrong. But that's good that we're not live, eh?
I don't want to hear about any other lovers. I don't want to mess around underneath the covers with anyone that isn't you, because you're beautiful. We're suitable. I don't want to hear about any other lovers. I don't want to mess around underneath.
we're suitable talking to someone. I think they're buying a house, avoiding the subject of what I'm up to now. I turn my head across the room in time to see you smile at something that someone just said. And you are my everything. I don't want to hear about any other lovers. I don't want to mess around beneath the covers with anyone that isn't you. Cause you're beautiful and we're suitable. I don't want to hear about any other lovers. I don't want to mess around underneath the covers with anyone that isn't you. Cause you're beautiful. We're suitable. Hold hands with old bands and monkeys in the zoo. The makeup is running and I am running too. Counting the days till I return and tiptoe back into your love life and the wildlife of home. And you are everything. And we're suitable. I don't want to hear about any other lovers. I don't want to mess around underneath the covers with anyone that isn't you. Cause you're beautiful and we're suitable. Say it is.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. That was an absolutely amazing performance. Can I just, is it a bit nerve-wracking doing that? Because I am stood here sort of staring at you in this studio. I always find that I feel sorry for people because I don't want to stop staring at you, but also maybe I shouldn't stare. Did it put you off?
No, the staring was good actually. I enjoyed it. It made me feel like, you know, I was doing something right. Feels good.
I love that track because I was listening to some of the lyrics. You're beautiful and suitable.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a really interesting way to talk about love because that is really what love is. It's like choosing not to be with anyone else because you're the most suited I'm ever going to be. Is that kind of where it came from?
A few people laughed at it and thought I was being funny and it never occurred to me that I was being funny. I thought I was just being... Right, it's like, you know when people say there's one person for each person? It's that.
It's like the most unromantic romantic thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. But they're the most romantic things, aren't they? I mean, people can go on and, you know, the flower, you could just like buy all the millions of flowers and you could buy, and you could just buy and give presents all the time and say how amazing you, but, you know, it's that's just stuff, isn't it?
It is. On that note, you've said before in a Wonderland article, you and your wife have been together, I'm not sure how long ago this was, but you'd been together for 16 years and married since 2013. Yeah. And you've written two songs about her.
Mm.
That really isn't enough songs.
It's not enough. No, there was two before this album, yeah.
So in this album, is there more of a dedication to your romantic life?
I think it's just more personal, really. Because when you're in a band and there's five of you and you're from Leeds and it's all just a bit awkward and you don't really talk about your feelings. And then you get a bit older and you're not in a band and I thought to myself, I'm going to write a solo record. Well, I'm not just going to write about other people. I'm going to write, or situations. I can't write I Predict a Riot because, you know, I just, there's
one
no
of the
point.
Biggest bangers of the 21st century, by
yeah,
the way.
It's massive, isn't it? But I can't do that. I can't do that because it's just not what, how I feel. I want to write something more personal, you know what I mean?
But you've got those stages in your life, haven't you? You know, you've done the I Predict a Riot. You've yeah. like, you've rolled around in it and smashed it all over the place.
That's right.
And now you're on to the next, which is the, you know, Barry Manilow romance
exactly.
section.
I actually went to see Barry Manilow a couple of years ago. Maybe that's the inspiration.
I've pinpointed it for you.
Yeah,
you're
maybe
welcome.
It is, maybe. And do you know what? My brother mentioned Barry Manilow. He was talking to me this morning about, like, where are you going to take this? What are you going to do? Because he came to see me in Leeds the other night. And then he mentioned Barry Manilow and Lionel Richie. So
there is some kind of Barry Manilow connection here that you need to take advantage of.
I think you're right.
You mentioned a little minute ago that you've done a lot of writing for other people. Not just other people, some pretty big time people. You've written for Rat Boy. You co-wrote Bang 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 with Mark Ronson.
Yep.
That's one of my favourite songs of all time.
Wicked, thanks.
You've written with Hertz, John Newman, Dua Lipa, Olly Murs. It's been a pretty illustrious, you know, selection of people that you've worked with. Quite exciting.
Yeah, it was exciting, yeah.
Did you learn anything extra special about writing for others that you didn't learn from being in a band?
I think I did learn some stuff from writing with others because I think when you're writing songs like we wrote, which were kind of like live, rowdy songs, I learned to write a different type of song, a sort of focused song about individual people and relationships and things like that, because pop songs are really about, you know, relationships, really. And I didn't really know how to tackle that. So I did learn a lot about that kind of thing.
Must be weird. I can't imagine sitting in a room with randomers.
Yeah, and pouring your heart out.
But you've...
People cry.
Really?
Sometimes.
Who's cried? Olly Murs?
No.
Hertz? No. Mark Ronson?
No.
Rat Boy?
Rat Boy didn't cry.
I can't imagine Rat Boy crying.
No, he didn't cry. There's no one I can think of, but there's been a couple of tears along the line.
I bet you wouldn't tell me either.
I wouldn't. No, but also they're not people. A lot, because one thing that happens when you're writing songs with other people is that you only 5% of them come out.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're just... You've got millions of songs that are just sitting there.
What's the most memorable one that you've cried about?
What do you mean, singing or writing?
Well,
or
anything. Singing in the studio, making a song that you've cried about. Maybe not singing it.
Oh, I tell you what, one time I was recording a song with the Kaisers. It was on the second album, and it's called Boxing Champ. And it's just me and the piano, and I recorded it singing and playing the piano. And I had this weird feeling that my grandpa was there in the studio late at night. And I went out. And, like, I was just sort of finished, and I went out, and I just... it was really emotional. It was really strange.
Literally making me want to cry. Yeah. That is, just like, the saddest thing of it. But, yeah. The most lovely, but also kind of creepy.
Oh, yeah. And it was a haunted place that we were working in as well.
Maybe he came to see you to give you the seal of approval for that track.
Well, that's what I felt, yeah.
That's awesome.
It was touching. It was definitely touching.
Also, I really didn't expect that as an answer, so thank you for sharing that with us.
I've got a lot of answers.
Just to double check while we're here, obviously you're doing your own thing now, but if there's any chance you're looking for singers, if you need anyone, I know a few that maybe me would
you
be
should
good.
Sing. This sounds like, I can't remember what it's called now.
Dua Lipa, I know.
Yeah.
It's just like Dua Lipa, isn't it?
Oh, you should do a whole show like that. Imagine that.
Oh, I do try, and then my producers are like, please stop singing. And then I have to stop, otherwise they pull me off air.
It's good to like singing, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, do you like singing?
I do, actually. I really like it.
It's a bit of a change for you. Well, obviously not in...
I used to sing backing vocals, but it's not really the same.
Being on the front is a bit of a more of a nerve-wracking situation, isn't it?
I'm getting into it, actually. I've just finished the tour. And it was...
It was a big one.
At the beginning of the tour, it was like, you know, I'd only done four gigs with this band and everything. And then by the end of it, it was just like walking on, just feeling great and...
Smashing it, just really...
Saying
hi. Do you have a real cocksureness about you by the end?
Well, not really that kind of guy, but I did. The thing that took me first surprise was when I started lifting my arm. I'm doing it now, by the way.
Oh.
Like, so you'd be doing something and then somehow you'd gesture, but with a grand, like with your arm fully stretched.
So it's like you're showing everyone something, but you're not. You're just sort of showing them
and
something.
And when I did that for the first time, I suddenly thought, something's changed there. That felt really odd. But it felt right.
It felt right, but odd. I think that's the right kind of way you've got to go about tour life. Is there anything else that you took from... Because it was a bit... It was not a small tour. You went all across the UK, Birmingham, Dublin, London, Manchester, Newcastle, Glasgow, Leeds. Is there anything that you took away from it that sort of majorly differed from when you toured with the Kaiser Chiefs?
Well, I think... See, I just started doing that when I was in my early 20s, you see. And so there's a lot more... There's a lot more... I don't know, it's like there's a lot more tension, a lot more craziness going on when you're in your 20s, and when you get a bit older and everyone, and you sort of, it just didn't seem the same at all. It was much more relaxed, it was much more enjoyable, really, in a way. It wasn't that intenseness that was the Kaiser Chiefs touring.
They do say though that as you you know, get older and you like live your life, you the more and more you become just zen and happy with everything that's around you.
I feel quite zen.
Do you?
Yeah.
I strive for zen.
Yeah.
Strive for zen. But that's wicked. The tour sounds amazing. I was watching it all on social media. I didn't get the chance to go. It looked like you rocked out, which is the lamest thing I've ever said, but no, you know what I mean?
There was an element of rocking out, yeah. It was all new as well, so it was just, it was getting better every night and I kind of want to keep going now.
I wanted to play a little game with you.
Oh, good.
It's called Tell Your Friends.
Nice.
I want to find out what kind of guy you are.
Okay.
Whether you would tell your friends certain things. The aim of the game is I'm going to ask you scenarios, and you're going to tell me whether you would tell your friends or you'd let them just exist with the situation.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So it can be that you want to take the piss out of them, or it can be that you're too embarrassed to tell them. So up first, you're in a restaurant. It's quite loud. There's a lot of light in there, so people can really see you.
Okay.
They know what's going on. It's just you and your friend. And they've got food so much all over their chin.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's quite gaggy, so it's making you feel not so well as well.
Yeah.
Do you tell your friend?
Is it because they're a monstrous eater, or is it because they don't... You know when someone's got something on their face and they don't know about it? Is it
I
that?
Can't tell which is worse.
Because I always tell people when they've got something on the face, always.
What if they're a monstrous eater then?
I don't know. It depends how much I know them. And I reckon I don't know. I'd probably just wait till the end. This is what I do. I'd wait till the end and assume that they're going to wipe it all up.
So you wouldn't tell your friend is the key?
No, they'd have to act upon that themselves.
Oh, okay. Up next. You're walking around in the streets and you see somebody and... They've got their clothing apparel, whether it be a skirt or a short, stuck into their knickers or their pants, depending on what you call your undergarments.
Yep.
Do you do that thing where you sort of do a slow jog up behind them?
And this is a friend of mine that I can see, or is this just...
Yeah, maybe it's an acquaintance. It's not a best friend, no, by any means. Mm-hmm. But it's someone that you know, and they've got something tucked into their knickers, and it's obvious, and everyone knows. Do you do a slow jog and run after them and tell your friends, or do you leave it?
It's a brilliant question. I'd like to think that I would tell them. Yeah, I think I'd tell them.
Okay.
I'd be like, do you know what it is?
You just would you just run up behind them and pull it out?
No, so I wouldn't do that because that could come across really
aggressive. Yeah, probably not a good idea.
It's not right.
Okay, next one. This one's going to be a tough one, I think. Your mate, potentially, let's say the Kaiser Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
They've written a song.
Yeah.
And you think it's awful.
Oh.
Like, it's the worst thing you've ever heard in your life. It's so bad. It's like on the level of Cheeky Girls. Not that that's a bad song, because it's a straight banger. But, you know, it's not quite on their genre.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you tell your friends?
Yes.
I feel like you've done that before.
Because
you've probably got lots of mates in the music industry, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So do they regularly sort of say to you...
What do you think of this?
Yeah.
Do you know what? It depends. I think there's ways of doing it. I wouldn't just say, hey, that's terrible. See ya, bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that you didn't say anything when I was singing, so I wasn't sure if that was...
Because I thought it was fine.
Well, I feel better now because you didn't say anything. So now I know I'm a really good singer that's just like Dua Lipa. So
that's
I will
right.
continue my career.
I would just say, right, I'd ask him a few questions first. I would get round to it. I'd feel a responsibility to tell him to put the brakes on this one.
Slow and steady wins the race, though, I feel,
yeah,
with your...
and I'd try and get it to a point where they understand what I think about it, but without me saying.
Well, I think you've done a really good job there. I'm going to finish it there because okay. I feel like I've asked you some quite awkward ones. So I feel, and I feel like you've really impressed me with your, with the way you've thought it through. You know, it's not just a flash in the pan. You really want to.
Well, it's weird. You know, when people say, "Oh, right, would you rather like be?"
Oh, I hate
like
would
two
you rather.
Two foot taller or 2 foot smaller, or would you rather eat this than that and all that? For some reason, as soon as somebody asks me that question, I feel like. All right, this is my life now, and I have to somehow adapt.
So basically, you're the worst person to play that game with because you spend 10 minutes giving your answer.
Yeah, but then I just have to remind myself, okay, it doesn't actually matter, so...
Oh, I should have played Would You Rather with you.
Yeah.
Almost, though. I feel like I nearly got it.
Would you rather have arms for legs or whatever, you know, all that?
Yeah, it's the disgusting ones I can't deal with. So Tell Your Friends is out now. I'm a really big fan of the whole album. It seems to be you sort of... really releasing a part of yourself that it's very personal.
It is, yeah, that's what I felt like that, yeah. I mean, I just thought there's no point doing it if it's going to be more of the same.
No, and it's definitely a different energy as well that you have.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see what's coming next for you
as
well.
Yeah, I'm going to do some more, can't wait. Because we've just finished a tour.
Now what's happening this summer? Are you going to be...
I've got some festivals and that, but I mean, what I'm really... concentrating on is doing some more new music, writing and recording, and hopefully get some stuff out by the end of the year.
Well, I'll slide you my card. You're welcome.
All right.
You can have that vocal for free. Shall we play another song?
Yes, please.
We're going to finish the show with this,
okay.
I think. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it? It's Tomorrow I Love You, which is my favourite song.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like this song. I like the... I don't know, it just feels great. I love it. I love the video and everything, and it's... It's my favourite one on the album.
And there's no chance you'll love me today. It has to be tomorrow.
It's got to be tomorrow.
Okay.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Two wrongs don't make a right. But 10 million more just might. You say the day is night, and you sound like you almost believe it. Nobody knows all the right things to say, but some people can't resist saying them anyway. What will we find if we all look away? If we all look away. Tomorrow you. Tomorrow I'll take my chance. Tomorrow I love you. Tomorrow I'll shake your hand, yeah. The winner on the night will think the future is pretty bright, but the runner-up just might understand how we're all really feeling. Nobody knows all the right things to say, but some people can't resist saying them anyway. What will we see if we all turn away? If we all turn away, yeah. Tomorrow I love you. Tomorrow I'll take my chance. Tomorrow I love you. Tomorrow I'll shake your hand, yeah. Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. Tomorrow I love you. Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. Tomorrow I love you.
quit while you're ahead is not the same as just giving in. Don't worry about the dead. We need to try and wake up the living. Tomorrow I love you. Tomorrow I'll take my chance. Tomorrow I love you. Tomorrow I'll shake your hand, yeah. Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. Tomorrow I love you. Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. Tomorrow I love you. And the string snapped.
Oh my God.
And that's the end.
Woo! I mean, to be honest, I think that's a wicked ending.
Look at that. It's never happened before.
That's the most rock star ending we've ever had on this show.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back. Kadeem Tyrell is in the building.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really, really well.
Good, good.
I'm wearing my most bright suit for you today.
I see. Blinding me.
It's because I'm going to be directing traffic later, so I need people to be able to see me. What's going on? How's things?
Things are good. Really, really good. I'm dropping my EP real soon.
Well, this is the exciting.
Yeah.
So let's kick off and talk about a little bit about Let Me Know, because that's the new single.
Yeah.
I love the video.
Thank you so much.
People are very excited about the
video. Yeah, I know. Literally, the song came out like a month before, and then as soon as the video came out, it was like, boom, it just made the tune even brighter than it is.
It's just a quite cohesive video, so it kind of made it a bit more of something, or whatever it did, it just added to it.
Literally.
So it's super simple. It's like... it's you, and the opening is that thing which I love, which no one can put into words, but it's like you harmonizing with yourself.
Yep, just me.
Through like special camera things that make it all happen.
So edits.
Yeah, edits, you know, special whiz bang that none of us know what's going on. And then it sort of moves through kind of like pastel-y, but very beautiful colours and plants. Just things that I think make people feel calm, and I think that's why they like that video.
This is it, exactly that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, did you know that plants create oxygen so they can make you feel calmer?
Well, I didn't know that, but I did know they create oxygen.
Yeah.
But I didn't make you feel calmer.
Yeah, because the more oxygen you have in the room, because they say you should get those, like, salt lamps and stuff to make more... I think they give more oxygen as well. I'm not sure.
Never heard of that.
Oxygen machine. Just get an oxygen machine in your room. But they make the atmosphere more...
warmer.
You can just breathe better and stuff, so you feel calmer. So maybe that's coming through the screen.
Well, maybe that. Do you know what someone did actually say to me? They said, I feel so refreshed after watching that. Because all the, you know, the water, I don't know how they said
the oxygen
water.
Was coming through.
This is it. That's probably what it was. And the green and the stuff.
You're welcome. I'm actually a scientist.
Hey.
No, I really liked it. Was this you, or did you bring someone in to kind of do the whole idea?
So,
side?
Sonny Jake is someone who actually directed it. He filmed it, shot it, and edited it.
He's a very talented
man.
Yeah,
very talented. So he had this idea, literally, as soon as I met him, he heard the track. And he was like, I have an idea already. So sat down with him, listened to his idea. I was like, okay, cool, let's go through with it. And then when he actually made it come into that reputation, it was like, this is magical. It wasn't something that I actually imagined it. I imagined more like a more TLC kind of vibe, you know, dancers and all that kind of stuff. But this idea was just something so different. I was down for it. I'm quite easygoing, so I'm just like, yeah, I'm down to do whatever.
But I like that I immediately know that about your personality, that that's what you wanted, because, babe, that is what I would have wanted.
Good.
If you and I have a similar mind,
this
because I would have immediately jumped to, like, let's recreate Brandy's video. the boy is mine. I completely know what you mean, because especially if you have an idea about something and then it completely opens another door when someone changes your mind.
But it's nice to see another perspective of how people see things. So.
And it's also why we all do different jobs.
Literally, that's it.
Because if all the artists in the world picked exactly how their video would be and had no...
difference.
No, it would all be Brandy.
The boy is mine.
The boy is mine. And don't get me wrong, epic video.
Yeah, for real.
So you grew up in South London, and you raised in a church community, which is obviously very, I'm assuming you did a lot of singing, because from what I've read up, you did a lot of singing at home and in church.
You know what? I'd done it more in church, like with little church friends.
Yeah.
But at home, like my parents didn't even know I could sing until I was 15.
Really? So but they were quite musical, your parents.
They were musical as well, but I would just like sing in the back and yeah. Until they found out that,
really?
He sings. Yeah.
So you didn't actually sing when you were in church because you didn't want to sing in front of your parents. You just sung with your mates.
Yes, this is it. At church, literally in like, not the playgroup, but like the Sunday school.
Cute.
And I go and sing there.
So wait, was that because you were nervous to show them or?
Yeah, I think so. It can only be that because I don't think, why would I not say, oh, look, mummy, I sing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably why, nerves.
I would have just got up there and been like,
oh, that was a nice note.
Like, thank you. I've been practicing that for 3 weeks. You know, like Sister Act vibes, where they just, that beautiful harmony. I just, it's something that it's so joyful.
Mm.
It's such a, again, another light and like makes you feel kind of like empowered. Yeah. I can imagine that was quite an empowering, especially if
you're in church.
Yeah, like singing with other people anywhere. I think whether it's in church or in singing groups and stuff like that. I think it's just, it's really
It's good when all the voices are bouncing together and you know how a choir sounds. So it's just good. And to be part of it as well is something different as well. You learn while you're there. You kind of learn about your voice and what you can do and what you can't do and where you want to go with your voice. And that's what kind of brought me to where I am now.
So many artists have come from that background.
Church
as well.
Backgrounds, yeah.
Jake
literally.
Isaac used to sing in church, and Ray used to sing in church. Like, it's definitely a good place to learn to sing. So I'm thinking about it because.
Oh, you should do it.
Well, because I want to sing,
especially
babe.
From that note, do
no,
it.
I'm awful at singing. That was a real clever masquerade that I did through there. Your influences are A Tribe Called Quest, Aaliyah, and Brandy.
Yeah.
I mean, Everything I Want and More.
Hey.
90s and noughties queens and kings there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about what resonated for you with them. Like, why did you connect with them so much?
So, how do I start? So, Tropical Quest, I like their flow.
Yeah.
I like what they talk about. And it's just so, like, intense. And, for example, the beat. So, the beats are, of course, got to hold tight, Jay Dilla, because, you know, rest in peace. But his beats are just, like, fire. And I just like to bounce. I'm a bouncy kind of person. I just like to, like, cruise along, and you know, there's kind of tunes where it's like Donald Jones as well. He's another person I really look up to in the music industry.
Donald Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So all that kind of bouncy kind of flat feel, I loved that, and the flows that they had. And then when it came to Brandy like, and her layering, like, she just layers vocals like crazy. And so that's why I wanted to kind of, if you listen to Let Me Know in the beginning, you know, the beginning where it's got all that layering, it's that kind of stuff that I love. So like layering vocals and just making it a big kind of sound. Now Aaliyah, now all the soft sounds. She's just like, all her songs were just, I grew up listening to like her. Like, Try Again was like one of the songs I had on repeat when I was young. So from then I just thought, this is really something I want to go into.
This
the R&B kind of that scene, yeah.
So it wasn't Brandy's foray into acting that you were into?
No.
I was into it. She did a lot of teen slasher
like
films.
What, Marisha and stuff?
Yeah, but and she did like, I'm sure, girls out there, you can verify this, but I'm sure she did either You Know What I Did Last Summer too, or
what?
Still Know What You Did?
Yeah.
I'm right. Honestly, one of the best films of all time. Maybe not. But listen, Brandy, I've got your back. Like, go into more horror films. Love a horror film. So I'm glad to know that it's the music side that you're into, not the
not the acting. But one day, maybe. Do you know what? Actually, one of my dreams are to actually become a voiceover for a cartoon.
That is such a cute niche dream.
I really want to be, like, I love cartoons and animations. So, like, one day I will be a voiceover, and one day someone will hear this and be like, ooh, his voice sounds like a good voice to have for a little, maybe a mouse or something, I don't know.
You've got a really good voice for a voiceover.
Oh,
and let me try and think what you'd be, because it's quite, like, smooth. It's really smooth, your voice. It's, like,
maybe
calming.
I'd be like a snake.
No,
well, no, that sounds really,
no, you're no. nice. You're too nice sounding. Seriously, your voice sounds too nice. You'd be more like a what's a nice animal?
Animals. Okay, yeah. Animals are nice. But
Like a slow, nice animal.
A sloth, but that's not nice.
No,
a
slow loris. Slow loris are really cute. They're the ones that go like. and they're so slow.
Oh, maybe that then. What, do I talk slow?
No, but not in a good... No, it's a calming. It's like Luther Vandross kind of like calming, like smooth. Whereas I talk like... Rah, rah. So it's like, you know, there's I'm more like a crab or something like very sharp.
Well, maybe I get that from... I listen to Smooth FM a lot in the morning and I love hearing the people talk. It's just something that's nice in the morning.
But also, maybe you're just a smooth R&B don.
Hey, this is it.
So, you know, sometimes it's just, maybe it's born with it. tell me a little bit about the story of Let Me Know, because it seems to be a lot about lust. Is it lusty? Well, I got the vibe it was like, let me know, because you want to start something with someone.
Yeah, this is it.
First of all, did you find out?
No, I still don't know.
Oh,
this
man.
Is it. I'm still waiting for
the
answer, innit? But yeah, that's what the whole EP's about. You'll see.
Mm. okay, so yeah, well, that's the vibe I got, because I felt I instantly think that, you know, when you want to be with someone, the lust is there.
Yeah. So Let Me Know is like two perspectives. So it's more about, like, you know, as you said, like trying to know about the lover. If, like, you know, do you want to take this to the next step? Like, let me know where you want to go with this. And also, the way that I wrote the chorus is in a way of talking to yourself. It's like you wanted to grow and stuff like that, and talking about growth within yourself and your life, and, you know, are you really down to grow, you know, because the next step in life is, you know, going to be, you know, something that you want to take forward and, you know, be big.
And be ready for.
Okay,
okay. And it's the second single coming off the EP.
Yeah, it's the second single.
What is the EP? When are we getting it? You've teased something on Twitter that looks like it's coming out on the
30th. Yeah, so it is coming out on the 30th.
Oh,
so
it the videos, is the EP, because yeah, so I wasn't sure if it was another
song. The video, and you're the first one to know, so video and the EP is coming out on the 30th.
Wow.
So yeah.
Big things coming then.
Big things coming.
Can you tell us anything more about the video or about the EP that's upcoming?
The one that's coming?
Yeah.
So this one is something totally different. It's a different sound. No, it's not different. But it's like R&B soul still, but it's something that's like different for me, if that makes sense. Like, it's
God,
more
I could
of
just listen to your voice
vibe-y.
All day. Keep talking to me. I feel so sexy and calm at the same time.
Talking like this.
Yeah. It's just like really calming. Oh, I love it. Carry on, sorry.
It's cool. So it comes on the 30th. It's more about focus. Well, it's called Focus, the tune that's coming out.
Okay.
So it's more like a percussion kind of like sounds. It's got loads of different things going on. And the video is just like super fun as well, with movement and different visuals and colours. And it's really nice. I love it.
Oh, I'm really excited. I saw the other day that you said you loved LA.
Yes. I just came back from there.
I was going to say, have you been out there? Were you making music, or were you just
having
fun? I
was doing a lot of writing and making music. So it was... All of that. I'm just thinking about it now. I'm just like, oh, I'm going to go back. But the sun's out today, so, I mean...
It's like we're in LA now.
This is...
Look outside.
Not exactly like LA, but I take that.
This is exactly the same as LA. I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
any artists that you'd be buzzing to work with from the US?
From the US? Mm. Oh, so there's Kate Trinada. So he's one big person I'm going to work with as well. Monty Booker, he's a producer who's like in Chicago, Raven Lynae. There's a few.
So tell me about him.
About Monty Booker?
Yeah.
So Monty Booker is like, he's actually someone that kind of like stirred my sound for me listening to music. To his music, sorry.
Yeah.
So he kind of has this like, I can't even explain it. No one is actually able to explain his sound. It's very futuristic. And
okay.
He even says he can't even explain it himself, but it's that futuristic song,
R&B. I guess. But
yeah, like his music just literally explains itself.
It's just what it is.
Literally what it is.
Oh,
but it's
I'm
like
just check
vibey.
It
so I just was like, yeah, I love this. I would love to work with him, because it is very me. As I said, like, I'm very jumpy and bouncy. And,
well, shout out to Monty if you're
yeah,
listening.
Yeah, man. I even tweeted him and he followed me.
Oh!
So that's it. We're getting there.
It's
We're
happening, babe. It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, should we play a little bit of your track then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you so much for coming by.
No problem.
I'm going to hire you as my personal voiceover to wake me up in the morning.
Good when I'm done.
Hello, it's Kadeem. Oh, lovely. It's just so calming.
Oh, thank you.
It's a great voice. But also, singing is great on your part as well.
Thank you.
All of it's good. Everything that comes out of that mouth Wonderful.
Thank
obviously
you.
I'm not with you all the time, and I've met you for about 15 minutes, but on this meeting I feel like mm-hmm. it's all good vibes.
Thank you.
So this is Let Me Know. Can you introduce mm-hmm. it for us?
So this is Let Me Know, my second single from my EP, which is called Feels, out on the 30th
mm-hmm.
of this month.
Let Me Know. What a lovely guy. And now another lovely lady's in the studio with me, Chelsea Blue.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. And yeah, that was a great track, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys should get together. That's what's nice about this show is a lot of artists actually do meet in the green room and kind of...
Oh,
some
yeah.
artists have done stuff together, you know?
I've actually met who you're bringing on next, and he's also fantastic. Wicked personality, so...
How did you guys meet?
In the green room.
Oh, Literally just now?
Yes.
Amazing. Just networking.
Trying.
Networking in the green room. So, Chelsea, it's lovely to have you in. We were just chatting about you're originally from the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And I was questioning your sanity as to why you've come to live in this dreary city.
Oh, that gets questioned every day. Yeah. Every day.
Even by you to yourself.
Oh, trust me. It's been 6 years since I've moved to London. And
wow.
Yeah.
And you're still here. What are you doing?
Holding on for some more sun. Yeah, but I moved here to do music.
Yeah.
And that's what brought me here. That's what's kept me here. I've actually gone home in between that.
Yeah.
And then fought to come back. So, yeah, I'm fully insane.
So you obviously grew up in the Bahamas. And the style of your music is beautiful, can I say?
Oh, firstly, thank you.
It's kind of soulful jazz is where you landed, which is what you've kind of said about it, is that you've tried lots of genres. What was the original sort of starting place for you? Were you working on music when you were living in the Bahamas, or was it?
I was, yeah. I've actually been doing music for 9 years.
Yeah.
But the first 3 years, I kind of, my idols, and this is why it's jazz, is because like Ella Fitzgerald, Nina Simone, Amy Winehouse, mm-hmm. all of the greats, they were the people that I wanted to cover and I wanted to be like, and I wanted to supersede, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then I came to London and fell heavily in love with soul all over again, you know, remembering Erykah Badu and Lauryn Hill, you know, those beautiful, deep voices, but also the minds and the personalities that go with it. And that kind of drew me in. Yeah, but I've dabbled with so many different genres. I don't know, it just built that way. And then after a while, you stop labeling your own genre. You start to just, whatever people decide that that's what it is, you go, yeah, okay. It is more soulful than it is jazz. And it does kind of have the hints. But, yeah, I enjoy
it.
Well,
I think genres don't exist anymore anyway. Or at least if they do, it's just to help you understand kind of what music you're about to listen to.
It's
as true. Opposed to like, oh, this is definitely all from start to finish one type of genre. But I think that's what's exciting about music now is that's the way it's going. In the Bahamas, what was the music scene like?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, my friends and I took what currently is the music scene and made it.
Oh, really?
The only artists that I knew that were doing things beyond Baja Men.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Who let the dogs out?
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yes. I completely forgot about them.
After that, it's basically reggae. Like Willis and the Illest Band, they have been going so strong. Because Bob Marley has a studio in the Bahamas.
Cool.
And yeah, was attached to a beautiful hotel as well now. Making money, why not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so other than that, there wasn't much. And what's happening now is there are actually a lot of pop and hip-hop artists back home. There are a small select few that do soul like I do and that actually are actively pursuing it. And there's lots of other Bahamian artists that are actually here in the here in London. But they, once again, they do more like pop and things that can kind of, more commercial things to get to that goal quicker. You know what I mean?
Because
being in the soul game is not...
It's a long game.
Yeah, it's long and steady wins the race. It's not we'll have a hit track right now and we're going to go big in 5, 4, 3. No, it doesn't work like that.
It's just not how soul and jazz and those genres are sold. Basically, the people who buy that music are a kind of person you kind of earn their...
Trust and respect,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you have to be for that palette. You can't just go in there going, yeah, so here you go. You're welcome.
No, exactly. And was there any kind of stark difference that you noticed when you moved to London where you were like, oh my God, this is what's going to be different about my life now?
No. I am suffering from that now, but no. I just went, so long as I get the chance to be myself and no one cares, that's all I want. Because doing what I did in the Bahamas, like when I went back, I decided in 6 weeks, forget it. Everyone keeps saying no one's going to show up. And I just had a show. My first show, I just did it. I sold tickets for my first show. It was the first time I'd ever perform live in the Bahamas properly. And I just went, why not? And I sold it out. And
go, girl.
And then I came to London and I was like, I have to do this. I know what I can do. So I came back and I started doing a monthly show for like a year. And then that was all good. But when that broke down and I didn't have some bass, that's when I realized how different the game is. You can't, it's more of a competition here. Like, you really have to fight to be seen. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the Bahamas, if you're the only one doing it, everyone's watching you.
That's so interesting as well, because actually it's the big fish in a small pond kind of thing, isn't it? It's,
yeah, like,
but it's very admirable that you want to come here and be a small fish in a big pond, because I think that's the scariest thing.
It really is.
And if you don't put yourself through scary things, you're never going to live, really.
No, you know what, how many experiences I've had just winging it, just going, okay, I don't know it, but I'll fake it till I make it. People want me to come and be superbly professional, which is funny. I come from somewhere where no one was doing it, and I come here where everyone's doing it. But because of that, the expectations of what they want from you here, mm-hmm, are far greater, and you have to rise to that challenge or you will sink. Mm. Yeah, and I've sunk before, and this is me getting back on the horse and going regardless.
But I think every single artist that's ever done anything has sunk
somewhere in their life. Yeah. Everyone's sunk before, isn't it?
Even the ones, even like a Justin Bieber who didn't sink, he went straight into fame, has sunk in fame. You, yeah, know, it happens at all areas. He hasn't sunk, but you know what I mean?
He's sunk. I know what you mean.
he dipped out for a little minute, didn't he?
Yeah.
You've got an album, Textures, that's coming this year.
Yes, I do. I'm so excited. I'm hoping within the next 2 months to have it. Ooh. Like, it's already been recorded. Everything's ready.
You're just mixing.
Mixing master. That's, yeah, all I need to get it done. And it's actually with another DJ personality called Blue Canarino.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And he's such a sick producer as well.
So how did you guys get together? How do you know him? Like, what's his vibe?
Do you know what? Recently met my partner, and he took me out of a weird funk I was in with music. I just wasn't doing it. I wasn't out there. I wasn't active. And he was like, listen, you're going to do it. Introduced me to him, and it changed my life.
Yeah,
honestly,
that's amazing.
Yeah,
those moments also are nice to reflect on as well, when you look back, and even if it's a minute ago, you can be like, wow, I'm so grateful that just happened.
Honestly, it how do I say, it gave me that renewed motivation to keep going, because Blue is such a interesting character himself. So, and his music is more like lo-fi grime.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, he's totally into that, like that making genre, let's get this going. And so I was like, yeah, I'd love to soul lo-fi grime.
Yes.
Why not?
Why not is the exact question that we need to ask at all times.
And that's what Textures is, different textures of music from two people that just came together and made something out of nothing.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Oh, so am I.
So you think about 2-3 months for the release?
I would say about 2-3 months.
Sick. Yeah. And I've got to talk about your name, Chelsea Blues. Is this a true story about your dad?
This is a very true story about my dad.
Oh my God, this is the best. This is the best press release I've ever read. I was like, so your dad named you Chelsea Blues because he's a big Chelsea fan.
Yeah, our last name actually is Blues. The whole family.
So he knew there was an opportunity here.
Yes, but they expected me to be a boy. Do you know what they were going to call me if I was a boy?
Manchester Rhythm, United?
Nope. Rhythm Nathaniel Blues. R&B. I know. I know. I wish I was a boy.
I wish you were a boy too.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy. But we went with Chelsea and...
Listen, football's great too.
I guess so.
Just doesn't quite link to your career as closely as R&B might, but...
I mean, you know, my first goal with music was to conquer the Bahamas. My new goal is to be more searchable online than the football club.
I have no words. That is the best. Aim high, girl.
I'm aiming real high.
No, you're not. I think you could achieve this. I've got faith in you.
Yeah, I got to work on my SEOs.
Serious. You need to talk to Google. Talk to Mark.
Let's
Zuckerberg.
Have some conversations.
Talk to Mark. He'll sort it out for you. He sorts everything out, apparently.
No, because Mark Zuckerberg won't change my name on Facebook, my personal account, from Rose to Chelsea, because they don't believe. And I've tried. I've sent them pictures of my documents, and they won't change it because they don't believe it. I'm not joking.
Listen, Mark.
I know, get it together.
I know you're in a lot of hot water at the moment anyway, but can you just give a girl a break?
Please.
Any other artists going to be featuring on the album, or is it just the two of you working together?
It's just the two of us working together.
I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a really exciting piece of work to
Thank you.
To be looking at. Well, I think we should have a little listen.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thank you so much for coming by. Make sure you send through textures because I'm interested to hear this.
You will be one of the first people to get it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, thank you for coming into FUBAR Radio as well.
Thank you.
And you said you're going back to the Bahamas later this year.
I will be going in October. You told me you wanted to come.
So I'm coming in your bag, basically.
So let's do this. We'll just tell British Airways to just reserve a whole plane.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this.
I will happily get in the stowaway section of the plane. I don't care. I will go in the baggage lounge. I don't, anything.
If it helps, I live on the water back home, so you don't even have to worry about anything. We don't even have to go to the beach. We'll just jump in the water straight out the balcony.
Stop making me feel jealous.
No, it's okay. I'm homesick.
Also, I feel like if I met your dad, he'd think of a really much cooler name than I have to make my name more musical, because that's what I
want. I think so. I don't know what to call you. I think we should just call you Frank Ocean's album.
My initial...
Channel
my
Orange.
God. Yeah!
That'd be perfect.
Honestly,
that would be perfect.
Well, I don't need your dad now. I don't need to my initials at the moment stand for HR, which is human resources, which is definitely not my vibe.
Oh my gosh. At least you're good with people.
Honestly, you've just made everything better. Chelsea, thank you so much for coming through. Can you introduce we're going to play Emotional Availability now.
Yes.
Can you introduce it for us?
My name is Chelsea Blues, and you are listening to Emotional Availability.
Emotionally available for me, for me, for me, for me. Why can't I get any satisfaction of reciprocity from you, from you, from you, from you, from you, from you? Why you gotta put up a front? I keep no secrets from ya. Never gotta worry about where I am. I keep it 100 with ya. With ya. With ya. With ya. Just like clockwork. Call you on time. You want transparency. Never hesitate to show you just how I feel. You be emotionally available for me, for me. Yeah. Why can't I get any satisfaction of reciprocity from ya?
Tell me why.
All I wanna do is love you. Love ya, 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 love ya. I gotta pick up the pace, I gotta pick up the pace, I gotta tweet, tweet, dice, tweet, dice, tweet, tweet, tweet. Why can't you, why can't I, all I want, all you want, love ya, love ya,
you know,
love ya, love ya. Why can't you? Why can't I? All I want, all you want. Love you,
love ya, love ya.
Beautiful. Tony Njoku's joined us in the studio now.
Hello.
How
Hello.
Are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Everyone who's come through today has been really, really cool and calm.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're about to keep that vibe going.
Absolutely. I'm very relaxed right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Everyone's so relaxed today. So nice, because it's weird, because before I came on the show, I was talking to the girls about, because I'm not so relaxed usually in the way I speak. And I was like, today I'm going to be so relaxed. And you've all helped me so much.
Great. That's good.
How's it going?
Yeah, man. Not too bad. Not too bad. Just living.
Just living life. Just well, living. You're living life in a great way, because we've dressed the same today.
Yeah, both in orange.
We're in colour coordination, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to kick off the show and have a chat about your sort of early life, because I was reading up all about it. You were in a place that was described as an elite boarding school.
Oh, God. This is interesting choice of words for the press release. I wouldn't say it was elite, it was just a boarding school.
Yeah, but it was in Lagos. So you grew up in Lagos?
Yeah, in between Lagos and London, yeah.
And and it was sort of a bit of a frustrating sort of situation.
Yeah, it wasn't the nicest situation to be in for, you know, a 12-year-old, 11-year-old kid.
No, it said yeah, they said it was governed by sort of tyrannous Christian fanatics, and it was a bit of a tumultuous start in terms of being a kid in a school where it's quite strict, and we got into a lot of fights and stuff like that.
It was just, you know, it's just like, you know, it's the same, you know, a lot of troubled kids growing up, you know, and not having a lot of
well, I think boarding schools anywhere, if you're hemmed in together,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
there's mm-hmm. always bad people in the world, isn't there?
Yeah, it's always, you know, a few bad eggs, but yeah, that's just how it is.
And then you came out of it, and it sounded a bit harrowing, and I wanted to know, because I didn't go to boarding school, but I know a lot of people who did, and I've heard mm-hmm. stories about, you know, sort of good and bad.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
some people love it, some people hate it. Did it affect your music in any way? Like, because I saw that you started off making completely different genres. You started off with hip-hop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, you know, when you're growing up, I'm sure it's the same for everybody. Like, you just want to be liked at a certain point. So when I started doing music, or saying that, okay, that's what I'm going to do, like, well, I was maybe, what, 10 years old? I can't remember, but I was very young, and like, I was like, okay, I'm going to do something. What do my friends like? They all really like hip-hop, you know? They like gangster rap. That was what everybody listened to. And if you didn't do that kind of stuff, you know, you weren't cool, basically. You weren't cool, exactly. And, you know, I do like a lot of that stuff. I still, to this day, I love, you know, all that, like Young Jeezy and 50 Cent, like all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, 50 Cent.
You know, it was great at the time, you know, but I also really liked Aphex Twin and Bjork and all of that. So, you know, but nobody really was into that. So I kind of had to hide that and do all the rap stuff.
Do you know
which
what?
Which I enjoyed.
I think you're totally right, because when I was at school, I'm a big hip hop head. I was a massive fan of hip hop when I was younger, but also like split with like Skunk Anansie and kind of some rock, because my brothers, one was a hip hop head and one was like a sort of rocker.
Yeah.
But at school for me, everyone was like obsessed with like Papa Roach and Linkin Park and
oh wow,
and that kind of, which I loved.
Yeah.
But it definitely wasn't my. But I remember wearing a hoodie for one of them. Oh, Slipknot. I wore a Slipknot hoodie and I was like, I'm a fraud. I'm wearing a Slipknot hoodie. I don't think I've ever listened to a Slipknot song. What I want to be wearing is a Dr. Dre 2001 hoodie. That just wasn't what other people were listening to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
it's funny how it kind of affects you like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. It's exactly the same with me. It was just, and I suppose that's what affected my music. It was just the fact that after a while, I kind of got bored of doing the thing I thought everybody liked me doing, and yeah, I just started doing the other stuff.
And when you came to London, did you feel like the relationship you had with music was different, or was it, did you feel exactly the same when you moved?
I mean, I don't really think it's because I moved, it's just getting older, you know, the reasons you go into making art in any way, they kind of become darker and more real and, you know, more personal as well.
We hope it doesn't start off dark at 10.
No, no. Of course not. You know, it's, you know, I mean, you know, you do it for you know, it's just fun. It's a good way to pass time when you're younger. Then as you grow older, it becomes... I suppose I don't mean dark as in...
I know exactly what you mean.
It's just more grown up.
But in terms of actually saying it, using that word darker, your music's it's dark, but not in that way. It's like the use of like synths and the kind of the attitude that you're trying to create with it is dark, but it's not negative. It's like a positive darkness.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like that fine line between being sad and being
euphoric.
Yeah, or reposed. You know, in a very when you're calm. You know, like when you like a Buddhist.
You know,
they're not like super ecstatic and all, but they're very much okay. They're very calm and grounded.
Centered.
That's exactly what I was looking for. That's the word I'm looking for. Centered.
And your first attempt was at 12, which is that right? 12, or you said 10?
Around that time, probably a bit earlier than that, really.
Wow! And then you've sort of developed, and you're inspired. I mean, Bjork's. I'm a huge fan of Bjork, anyway.
Yeah.
But those kind of influences. Yeah, it's like wonderful. Who else sort of influenced you around that time?
Hip hop stuff. I mean, it was listening to Tribe and Kanye, like early Kanye stuff I really loved.
Graduation and...
Yeah, like Graduation, Late Registration, all of that stuff. I mean, I really like 808s when it came out. Like, I remember just like listening to that non-stop. That was like all I listened to. But, you know, on the hip-hop front, those guys and, you know, just Radiohead. Radiohead were huge for me around that time. Bjork as well. Aphex Twin and Anthony Hegarty, or Anoni now, but at the time was Anthony Hegarty of Anthony and the Johnsons, was like hearing her voice was just, you know, it was like, oh, I need to sing. Like, that's what, you know, it was kind of like the switch for me. I was like, okay, I need to actually do that now.
I really like the two descriptions I found of your music, that the kind of like not polarize each other, but I just like them sat next to each other.
Okay.
Intricate soundscape is an intricate soundscape. Oh, I can't even speak.
Take your time.
It's an intricate soundscape and a holistic journey through sight and sound. And then verses, which I really enjoyed, the ID quote, Tony and Jocko makes nice swirly sounds.
simpler description.
I just like both of them because I think they both really encapsulate exactly what you're doing. One of them's like a bit more sort of, you know, clever.
Yeah.
And the other one's just like straight, yes. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even say it, like, let alone speak it.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about when people describe your music in that way?
What, in the intricate?
Just in any way, like, is it something that you feel comfortable with, or do you want to kind of take it back and make it your own description?
Yes and no. I mean, I'm quite okay for people to call it whatever they want. I feel like, you know, I've written it, I've recorded it, I've put it out. It's no longer just mine. It's for the culture or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, it can be a bit frustrating when you know, someone says something that you know you didn't mean, or you know, like, you know, if someone says, oh, that was very poignant or very sad, I was like, no, there's so much joy in the lyrics, or, you know, so. Is a bit, you know, it's like, I don't mind what people say, but at the same time,
as long as they're not nasty.
Yeah. Or like misinterpreting, like totally misinterpreting.
That must be really stressful, actually, because if you've worked so hard to create a vibe and then someone completely misunderstands it.
No, you kind of have to leave it at the door when you're done with it, and when you've given it to whoever's going to put it out, you kind of just have to leave it. And
so your latest album was the follow-up to Grayscale.
Yes, it's called, out tomorrow.
It's As We Danced.
No, that's not the album. That's the single.
Oh, that's the track that's out now, though.
Yeah. As We Danced.
And then your sophomore album, which is your second album.
Yeah.
When is it coming out?
Tomorrow.
Oh, my God. New Music Friday.
New Music Friday, absolutely.
Talk us through it, because I've had a listen. I actually had a... that's why, because I had a secret listen.
Oh, I see. Awesome. Whole record?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Don't tell anyone. Do you know what? It was really funny because I was there. I was in somewhere where I couldn't be and make any noise.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked... I was so into it that I walked away with my earphones in. And they're like wireless ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I was vibing it so much. And I went to the loo. I just went for a wee.
Okay.
And I was listening. I was loving it. And then it suddenly turned off. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And I realized that when I come back, everyone was listening to it.
Oh, wow.
In the whole place. So me and all the people I was sitting with yesterday loved it. I felt kind of entranced by it.
Mm, that's the point.
It really kind of because I don't sit and listen to that genre enough, and it really sat me down and kind of it calmed me and made me I went on the journey with you, put it that way.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Is that what you kind of want with your music, is to just take people on a journey?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think I always say this to like my sort of chin scratchy arty friends. It's like, you know, it's like the job, or for me, my job now is, rather than trying to tell people how to be or try to make make a sensual song or a political song or whatever, it's kind of like, okay, how can I write something that has like carries meaning, carries intensity, but gives enough space for people to just invest themselves into it, rather than like, okay, this is what this, you know, I don't want someone to know what my song's about on the first listen or like 30 seconds in. I want them to just enjoy it and let's be in it and manifest their own interpretation as time goes on and just like grow with it. That's what it's for.
And what does HPAC stand for?
Hyper Pink Anxiety Complex.
Okay.
Again, it's that kind of, it's just,
that's the name of the album, by the way, guys.
Yes, that's the name of the album. And it's, yeah, it's again, it's just not wanting to give you something that's like, oh, this is what it means straight away.
Is that a thing? Is that a real thing?
No, that's the thing I invented.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, you know, it makes sense for me. It's also a bit tongue-in-cheek because it's kind of laughable. Like, it's just, you know, nonsense. But, it, you know, it makes some sense for me, you know. I won't go into it now.
Well, no, anxiety is something that people don't talk about enough.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think in music especially, it's a place that it really looms in music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In the creative industry, for sure. Like, you know, I don't know one of my creative friends who doesn't suffer from some sort of anxiety induced by the industry or, you know, from whatever, you know? It's just,
it can be predisposed or you can create it through working. I think it comes in many forms and a lot of people experience it, but in terms of the creative industry, I think it partly comes from a non-structure.
Yeah.
You kind of have to learn to structure your life.
Absolutely.
And get up 100% and work. And because I think weirdly, as humans, we have this weird thing where we, even if we don't do a job where we're 9 to 5, like I don't, but I feel like I will get up at 8 a.m. and I will work the day like it's a day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, we're a beast of routine. We're like, you know, a beast of habit, rather.
Are you a daytime music maker or are you a nighttime music maker?
This is the thing of like, you know, usually not having routine. I don't know. Recently, I've been doing the day. You know, I start around
good boy.
Like, you know, I wake up early about 7, 8, do whatever I have to do, and then start making from about 11, 12, just write and, you know, finish off by like 3 or something.
I want to know what you're doing between 7 and 11.
Just emails. Just a lot of the stuff.
Eating breakfast
for this album.
Most important meal of the day.
Yeah. I often forget to eat breakfast, actually. That's really bad. But yeah. Trying to eat breakfast.
Get that breakfast in.
Yeah.
Come on, Tony.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm trying to look after you.
That's nice.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I'd love to play your song now, As We Dance, which is the one that's out now. You can go and listen to it. And then tomorrow, the album is out.
Yeah. Tomorrow's the album.
Are you doing anything special to celebrate?
No, actually. Probably just going to listen to it again and then, you know, go out in the evening.
I love that.
That's
but it's nice because you've done it and you've completed it, and it's like you're like releasing it to the world. I guess the excitement comes when you start hearing what people say about
it. Oh yeah, for sure. It's like, I've, you know, this week I've been getting like, you know, people kind of hitting myself and the team up and just saying, oh, how much they love it.
Great.
And that's really nice. It's just really
a
nice
slow
to get
burn
that
warm feeling that you get. Nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're going to play the track from HPAC. This is As We Dance. Tony, will you introduce it for us?
Okay, so this track is As We Danced, and you're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Darling, can't you see that there's none here for me? There's something incomplete.
sun and I heard I told you I won't make it, but the rhythm's taken me. I see my death, I see me inside out, trembling by myself. Eventually I become like an origami swan. You twist me out of shape, you shape me how you want. I'm too late, through the movements in the space. You're forgiven and it's okay.
Fubar Radio presents
Black Ruin Show with Johanna James.
Huge welcome, Arabella Neal. Welcome. Yeah. With a clap.
Hello. It's a wonderfully bonkers, insane play that it's set in a club toilet. So
I am so intrigued.
I know.
Because I always wonder what goes down there.
Oh,
yeah.
You don't even want to know, but you want to know, but you don't want to know.
Because ladies go together.
We go together. I mean, we literally go together. We'll sit and pee at the same time.
In the cubicles?
Yeah, yeah.
You stand in the cubicle together?
Yeah, because you're continuing your talk. You just drop your knickers, have a wee, and then you swap places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shut up! No way!
Well, it's not that weird. You guys get your Johnson's out next to each other.
Yeah, but I don't tell my mate to shake it, do I?
Every Friday.
Back Row and Show with Johanna James.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio. It's Harriet Rose. You're back on FUBAR Radio. And joining us live on the phone is going to be Michelle Gale in 1 second. We're going to be chatting all about her new musical, Son of a Preacher Man, which I'm really excited to talk about. You remember Dusty... I say that like you. You remember Dusty Springfield, obviously one of the most prolific songwriters and singers of the world. So it's all about that. It's been on since September of 2017, and Michelle has joined the cast, and we're going to be playing a song alongside Alice Barlow, who's also on the run up, and she's joining us right now, Michelle Gale. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
So good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, tired. I would have to admit, but very good.
I bet you are. You've been doing just since the beginning of March this year, haven't you?
Yes, I've been doing Son of a Preacher Man UK wide tour, and it is full on, to say the least.
To be honest, I'm really, really intrigued and excited by this because I'm a huge fan of all the music that's involved in it anyway. But also,
oh, fantastic. Dusty Springfield, God bless her.
Yeah, so we were just having, just before I got you on the line there, I was having a little chat about Dusty and how prolific she has been in the in the music industry. And also, Son of a Preacher Man in itself, that song, that I don't think there's a single person on this earth that doesn't think that, you know?
That is just a tune.
But tell us a bit about your experience of it. How has it been for you? Oh, Craig Revel Horwood is the choreographer.
Director.
Yep.
He's directed it and he's staged it musically. He has been fantastic. Very encouraging. I hadn't seen him for a while, but came to see it last week in Brighton and was just not the Craig that you see on TV, in the sense of he was really glowing about it. Because the thing is that Craig is hard at the rehearsal process because he wants it to be right. But after that point, if you deliver, he's such a kind, nice person. So it was good to please him. I think it's like everyone on Strictly, you're really nervous about pleasing Craig, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't doing the whole putting up a gavel with a number on it or anything, was he?
No, I didn't have a number.
Good, good, good.
Although you are nervous, you know, he's watching, but...
Because he's mentally doing numbers, isn't he? He's probably mentally...
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So that went really well. We're just having a great time. Obviously, last week in Brighton was good because of the weather. We're in Woking this week. Next week, we hit Bournemouth, another beach town. And then after that, it's Dublin, Glasgow, Cardiff. So we're really looking forward to it.
I mean, it's such a feel-good subject and a kind of like the songs. Obviously, there's some elements of sadness and there's... do you want to just bring us through the sort of storyline? Because it's about three people who meet together. But I'll let you tell the story because you'll be able to tell it much better than me.
Yeah, that's right. It's three people of different generations, age-wise, who are both... all three of them are experiencing unrequited love or heartbreak. And through various people, the older gentleman, he actually used to go to this place called the Preacher Man. But myself, my mum used to go, and with Alice Farlow, who plays Kat, her grandma used to go. And basically, we'd all kind of been aware of this shop called the Preacher Man, where the guy who owned the record shop, who called himself the Preacher Man, loved Dusty Springfield, but was really good at dishing out advice. He's a very sensitive person. And we're all three of us are kind of in this space where we're at a crossroads and we don't really know what to do. And we think, you know what? What have we got to lose? Let's go to London. Let's see this Preacher Man and see if they're as great as we, as if he's as great as we've been told. And so we go on this journey and bond really over our heartbreak and our love of Dusty Springfield.
I mean, what better night out could you have than that, to be honest?
And it really, by the end, obviously there's ups and downs emotionally, but by the end, most people are on their feet dancing and it just becomes a big party.
That must be a really nice feeling when you're on
stage. Oh, it's lovely. Yeah, it's a lovely feeling because it's literally having a party every night and it is. You all become involved and everyone's dancing and it's so good. Sometimes, you know, some of the people are older, you know, because they were around and Dusty was around and you see them let go and dance as if it was the old days and you feel so happy for them. Yeah, and then you get younger, like, tonight people. So it's a real mix, generationally, like the play is, but it's fun.
I think that's also quite a difficult thing to do, is bring all generations together in theatre, basically, is actually to manage to completely mix your audience so that you never know what kind of people are going to be there.
But I think that's the beauty of Dusty Springfield. I wouldn't give us the credit of that, I've got to be honest. I do think that's the beauty of Dusty Springfield.
Obviously, you're an incredibly experienced musician anyway. You've had six top 20 hits, millions of records sold. You've been on the stage many times. You've been on the telly. What is the thing, even... because I know even with all that experience, you're still going to have those pangs and those nerves. What is the thing that you sort of feel before you take on a job like this, before you get on stage? Is there
well,
something that happens?
Well, you're daunted because you know it's Dusty Springfield. And as someone who respects her and loves her music and her vocals, you think, can I do this? Because Dusty's so great, I can never do that. And then you really, the only way you can get around it is by saying, I can't emulate Dusty. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to try. I have to do it my way because the task is too big if you think you've got to try and emulate Dusty. There's only one Dusty Springfield, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. But that's nice that it's kind of putting your own mark on it, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got to put your... For me, I had to put my own mark on it in order to be able to accept the show and do it, yeah.
And obviously, it's a fun and exciting job and it's really... But it is a tiring. It is it is relentless and it is, you know, your choreography, you're having to... Yeah. It's physically quite demanding. You know, behind the scenes, is there anything that you sort of have to do to keep yourself going while you're on those tours?
Well, probably coffees. Sometimes I have to have a coffee in between shows to keep me going. It's hard. It does get grueling because you're traveling, especially days like Wednesdays and Saturdays where you generally do two shows a day.
Wow.
It's hard. It's hard. But like I said, the end is such fun. That's kind of what keeps you going is the joy when you see everyone dancing. Other than that, we warm up together, we exercise together sometimes, and we just try and keep as fit as possible.
And does everyone get on well? So it's like a nice environment to
it's
be
in. It's one of those things of, one of those love-ins where we all get on. So that's the best thing about it. We really get on with each other. So we're like a little family.
Because if you experienced in the past, I'm sure you've experienced in the past times when you think, oh God, they're a dick or whatever.
Yeah. I've experienced part in the past where we do not get on, let's put it that way. And that becomes really tricky. And you don't enjoy going into work. You know, you kind of isolate yourself in your dressing room. And that's not fun at all. And you literally count the days of the calendar till it's over. So this is great to kind of love coming in and love being around everyone.
And do you know how long you're going to be doing it for? Are you going to do it till the end of the run?
Yeah, we do the end of the run. This run is July. And We don't know if it's going to go out again. There are rumours, but we're not sure. So far, July, it ends in Liverpool in July.
Fingers crossed.
Oh, thank you, Harriet.
Oh, it's so lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for stopping by, because you must be so tired and busy. So I'm really grateful.
Thanks for having me.
No, my pleasure. So everyone, you need to go and see Son of a Preacher Man.
Yes, you do.
You can find all the information at www.sonofapreacherman.musical.com. That's got all the dates, times. You can buy the tickets, because they've each, obviously, of course, got different theatres. So make sure you go and check it out to get the place where you live. And we're going to actually play one of your songs. We're going to play You Don't Have to Say You Love Me, which is one of my favourite.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Yes, a daunting experience again to try and match Dusty here, so I didn't try and match her.
Oh, no. I'm so excited to hear it. And good luck with the rest of the run.
Thank you very much.
Break a leg, as they say.
Yeah, take care.
Take care, Michelle. Thanks so much.
Bye. When I said I needed you said you would always stay. It wasn't me who changed, but you, and now you've gone away. Don't you see that now you've gone? And I'm left here on my own, that I have to follow you and beg you to come home. You don't have to say you love me, just be close at hand. You don't have alone with just a memory. Life seems dead and so unreal. All that's left is loneliness. There's nothing left to feel. You don't have to say you love me, just be close at hand. You don't have to stay forever, I will understand. Believe me, oh. You don't have to say you love me, just be close at hand. You don't have to stay forever, I will understand.
Dan Kaplan here, FUBAR Radio, with Harriet motherfucking Rose.
I wanna lick the shake it off into the dark.
Crash My Heart. That's her brand new single. She's really great. I met her very recently and she's really nice and cool and fun. I think that song, I just really took to it. She didn't send it to me or anything. I saw it online at Best Fit and I was like, I know her. And I was like, this is beautiful. And I messaged her and I said, give me that song. I'm going to play it on the radio because it's so vibey. Also, I feel like it really fits with today's show and the music we've been playing. So that's some new music there. Amber Simone, go and check her out immediately. Now, you've probably all seen this, but Christina Aguilera did a carpool karaoke in America this week, and it's come out and it's amazing. So she's got an absurd voice. We all know that. She's ridiculous. Dirty is one of the biggest songs of my life. In fact, I've got a distinct memory of Dirty being at a house party when I was about 15 and doing the full routine. Luckily not in chaps, because that would have been really diabolical. But yeah, she reminded us on this that she was actually in the Mickey Mouse Club, which I don't think I knew that, with Britney, Justin and Ryan Gosling. And she revealed that Ryan Gosling had a crush on Britney Spears. Interesting. So they did a rendition. They did Fighter. They did Dirty. They did Genie in a Bottle. Now that really is the epitome of me singing in my bedroom. It's actually really, really dirty. Just to give you a little idea of her her singing, though, here's a little clip.
Send me and my girl. Shake the room. Oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, she's not lost it, has she? Christ on a bike. She is one of those artists where I think you could literally have her in a toilet and she'd still be able to sing just as well as she has on all of her hit records. I think that's a very rare thing to be able to... I mean, think about it. You're sitting down in a car. I would insist on standing. I'd have to have a stand-up car. I'd have to have a convertible because I couldn't sing sitting down. She smashed it. It was actually... Let's listen to that again because it's too absurd.
Send me and my girl. Shake the moon.
No! Oh, here she goes. No wonder they cheered. No wonder they cheered. Wonderful, Christina. Wonderful. They went through all the hits and she smashed each one. But she's recently hit the headlines anyway in the UK and probably all over for her paper cover. So she's kind of gone back to a really natural look because back in the day, it was pretty not unnatural. That's the wrong wording. Pretty full on. It was pretty 90s. That's how I'd describe it. She had the same eyebrows that I had, and both of us have managed to grow them back. Well done, babe. I wonder if you use the same thing as I did. I'm not going to say what it is. It's just growth serum, guys. But she had those pencil lines. When she did the Dirty video specifically, it was like no eyebrows. Way fast forward to 2018. Those brows are thick and full, and they're in full flow in the paper. If you haven't seen it, by the way, go and look at it because it's really very calming to look at. Stunning. So she came back into our lives recently with that, and then now she's back again with the carpool karaoke. And I think, basically, carpool karaoke is insane because they do get the biggest... I mean, I would like to know the list of no's that they've had, but it is the place where you know you're going to get the biggest artist in the world just sitting there in a car singing. And then, of course, there's the bit where Melissa McCarthy does Redman's verse, which was bizarre, but I was really into it. Everyone loves Melissa McCarthy. They did the film Life of the Party together, and I think that's their, like, you know, bezies. Maybe Redman was busy. I don't know. She just really proved that her voice has not faltered over the whole of her career. She started in about 1993. Her first album, of course, is self-titled in 1999, Christina Aguilera. It featured on Genie in a Bottle and all the bangers like that. What a Girl Wants. What a Girl Wants. I Turn to You. Come On Over, Baby. That was 1999 and 2000. And it's just insane that you can keep... I mean, I guess your voice... A lot of people's voices do deteriorate, but hers is not one of them. But I guess she's not that old, though, is she? She's quite young still. She's in her 30s or 40s. She's still very young. But also, did anyone else notice her speaking voice sounds like Kim Kardashian's? She sounds exactly like Kim. She's 37. She sounds exactly like Kim Kardashian when she speaks. It's like sort of like this, where it's like I'm pausing when I talk, but I'm still speaking very clearly at you. I don't know whether Kim Kardashian and Christina hang out. That would be amazing if they did. I'd like to see them both doing like a together. Or on that note, though, she did try and teach James Corden and Melissa McCarthy to sing. I'll play a little clip. Hold on.
I'm just going to stop here because I really want to learn this properly. Okay. So you give us a little. You give us a little trill. We'll try and copy you. Go.
Hey.
Okay. Let's do it together. Ready? One.
Almost, guys, almost. So anyway, that's a story I wanted to tell you all about this week. Christina Aguilera, Carpool Karaoke, go and watch it. Now, finally, before the end of the show, we've got a new segment, and it is this. God, I feel so gassed when I hear that. Guys, that was amazing. They made that today, Nat and Hannah. Well done, guys. So, Champion is my new feature. We're going to be championing someone, something, every single week. This week's champion is the UK's very own Anne-Marie. Her album is coming out tomorrow. It's all very exciting. She was born and raised in Essex, as we all know. She's been behind some of the biggest bangers, including singles with Clean Bandit, obviously Rockabye featuring Sean Paul, Marshmallow with Friends, Alarm, Ciao Adios, and a lot of those are featuring on her debut album coming out tomorrow. She also used to be on the stage when she was younger. She was in Les Miserables, and this is weird. She was in Whistle Down the Wind, which is something I've never heard of, with Jessie J. She was in a musical with Jessie J, who'd have thunk it? And also, the most important thing is she used to do karate. She was really big on karate, and she even called her first EP Karate, I think. But I'm really excited by Anne-Marie. She's got a very good vibe about her. She's from the UK, and it's just really wonderful to see her. Speak Your Mind, which is the new album, is coming out tomorrow. And she's released a lot of tracks. This week, she released two 2002 banger. And also, talking of Christina Aguilera, she kind of did a back to the 90s, noughties features in it, which was really interesting. We had Oops by Britney Spears, 99 Problems, Dr. Dre, NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye, Nelly, Ride With Me, and Britney, One More Time. Now, she sang them. She kind of featured them by re-singing them as if they were the songs that she was listening to while she was having a good time in 2002. But what we've worked out is that not all of these songs were out in 2002. So she was obviously trying time travelling. Perhaps she knew Dr. Dre as a youngster and he'd sent her the preconditioned version of 99 Problems. No, 99 Problems is Jay-Z. I don't know why Dr. Dre's written here. That was probably me in my sort of drunken stupor last night. So she obviously had some kind of link with Jay-Z at that time that was bringing her 99 Problems before we all did, because that came out in 2003. But anyway, we still love the song. It's co-written by Ed Sheeran, who she's bezies with. She's been bezies with him for a long time. Obviously, her work with Rudimental, because she caught Rudimental's attention, then ended up touring with them for 2 years and releasing songs that were on their albums, which actually jet-started her career into what it is now, which is really nice. I think Rudimental do that with a lot of people, and I think it's a really wonderful thing for the artists and for Rudimental to have these people on their sort of roster, you could say. But it's an interesting story because... Ed Sheeran goaded her into pre-releasing it before the album. He was like, release it, go on, I'm going to leak it on Twitter. And she did. So actually, it's all down to Ed Sheeran that we got that early. But Benny Blanco, who contributed to the writing of this, who's written tracks like Love Yourself, Justin Bieber, Castle on the Hill, Teenage Dream, and Steve Mack, who wrote Shape of You, One Direction, Zara Larsson. This was like kind of the super team that was working on this album. So you can imagine how amazing this is going to be. I think it's going to be really good. I think it's been a long time coming. She's been releasing songs from this album since, I think, the beginning of 2016 she dropped the first one. So it's pretty exciting for her that these are coming now. And actually, I feel a lot of pride for her. She's from the UK. She's doing really well. And I think she's actually going to be quite big in the US. I feel like this is going to reach over, especially tracks like the Marshmallow track, because obviously, of course, he's already got the US... the US crowd anyway. So I think this is a big, it's just like a huge moment for her, and I'm very excited for her. So this week she is our God champion. Anne-Marie, huge congratulations. Speak Your Mind, coming out tomorrow. We're actually going to finish the show with her song in a minute. Thank you guys so much for listening. Also releasing tomorrow, guys, Janelle Monáe, my best friend, I love her so much, is releasing Dirty Computer and Post Malone's Beer Bongs and Bentley. So it's going to be a big day. Also, I'm excited to see how that all comes out in the charts because I don't know who's going to be up front. I can't tell. But it's definitely a good day for music tomorrow. So this is Anne-Marie, 2002. Take a listen out, see if you can hear all the features.
I will always remember the day you kissed my lips, light as a feather. And it went just like this. No, it's never been better than the summer of 2002. We were only 11, but acting like grown-ups, like we are in the present. Drinking from plastic cups, singing love is forever and never. Well, I guess that was true. Dancing on the hood in the middle of the woods of an old Mustang, where we sang songs with all our childhood friends. And it went like this, say, oops, I got na-na-na, pop, I'm singing ba-ba-ba. Hold up, if you wanna go and take a ride with me, better hit me, baby, one more time. Paint a picture for you and me on the days when we were young, singing off the top of both our lungs. Now we're under the covers, fast forward. Say, oops, I got na-na-na, problem singing ba-ba-ba. Hold up, if you wanna go and take a ride with me, better hit me, baby, one more time. Paint a picture for you and me on the days when we were young, singing off the top of both our lungs on the day we fell in love. Ooh, ooh, on the day we fell in love. Of an old Mustang, where we sang songs with all our childhood friends. Oh, now, oops, I got 99 problems singing ba ba ba. Hold up, if you wanna go and take a ride with me, better hit me, baby, one more time.